42 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bullseye on the afternoon. Me, Andy Bullbarch, and Matt Douglas. We are with you all the way up until 6:30, and then we take you out to Quicken Loans Arena for the Cobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Queue, presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning. Tim Alcorn out on vacation all week long. He won't come back until after the Memorial Day holiday. And filling in for Tim tonight, down at the Cobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Queue, Matt Lodi and Scott Cirilla. And joining us now is Matt Lodi, who again will be hosting that show for you as they preview the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Matt, thank you very much for giving us some of your time. And boy, we've had a lot of time here to kind of dissect what happened a little bit less than 48 hours ago in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Going into Game 4, with all that we've heard and all that we've seen over the last couple of days, what are you looking for and what are you expecting going into tonight's contest?
Well, it's hard for me to think that they're going to change much, the Cavaliers, that is, just because, you know, everything was really, for the first, about 28 minutes of play on Sunday night, really was going the way they wanted it to. They had the 21-point lead. You know, it wasn't like that they were having many issues, you know, guarding the Celtics, from the perimeter. Boston got very hot, you know, which is, you know, for them, something that absolutely had to happen. And the Cavaliers got cold. I mean, they just couldn't hit much, you know. And there's been some people that have said that, you know, the Cavaliers didn't play as aggressive. They got passive. They, kind of took the game lightly from that point. But, you know, human nature, as it goes, it would be hard for me to, you know, debate you on that issue because, listen, the Cavaliers beat Boston by, 14 in Game 1, and they were up by 50 at one point in Game 2. When you go up 21 points in Game 3 and everything is going your way, I don't know how you couldn't get just a little bit complacent, you know, knowing that you've already had these two insurmountable leads in Games 1 and 2, and now you're up 21 in Game 3. You know, and I'm not saying that that's a problem that the Cavaliers are going to have to overcome, but obviously now that they got punched in the mouth a little bit after Boston came back and, of course, Avery Bradley hit the game winner, I'm sure that there's going to be a different mindset if, in fact, they get up to a big lead, even if it's a 15-point type lead tonight, where, you know, the old adage, as I've heard many times, you know, in all sports, is that, you know, once you have your foot on their throat, you got to make it count. And I'm sure the Cavaliers will make sure tonight, if they get that type of advantage that they've had in all three games, that they'll make sure they don't blow this one as they did on Sunday evening.
Obviously, I think we saw LeBron James in the press conference. He gets upset about a question that was asked. And I think more of that just came from the way he played that game on Sunday night. And he was just sort of frustrated with everything from the whole. I guess, sort of, Lodi, I'll ask you on that one. What was it that slowed LeBron James from your perspective down in that game? Was Boston playing good defense? Or, hey, was LeBron just having a bad game that night?
Well, you know, they defended him a little differently. They didn't keep the same players on him that they had in games 1 and 2 when he just was able to pretty much do whatever he wanted to. And, you know, they also were a little bit more aggressive with him, not letting him get to the hole, not letting him get a lot of open looks. He was pretty much able to do as he pleased in those first two games, where this game, I think, was the first time that he was really challenged, more so by the Boston defenders. You know, I really look at it like Boston, you know, came into this game, and while, again, they didn't necessarily play well in about the first 27, 28 minutes, they really played those last, you know, quarter and a half with really nothing to lose. And, you know, good for them because, you know, again, realistically, they had nothing to lose. You go down 3-0, you're not coming back. I mean, this goes without saying. But in Boston's, you know, perspective, they played desperate. And the Cavaliers haven't had to play desperate, you know, at all in the postseason. I mean, even the first games of the series, they've toyed with these other teams, where Boston really looked at it like, okay, guys, this is it. If we don't come out and do something to stop this, we're going to get embarrassed again, and it's going to be 3-0, and we're dead. You know, and you know, it's interesting, on the Countdown show on Sunday night, down here from Quicken Loans Arena, I asked Matt Medley, who co-hosted with me, and also one of our guests, Ashley Bestock, about is there any way Boston wins this game? And both of them kind of laughed. I mean, we all did. I mean, it's just, it was human. Yeah, gun. The way the game's 1-2-1, how could you not? But they both said that if they were going to lose that game Sunday, the Cavs, a lot of things had to go wrong, not only from a standpoint of play, but also from a psychological standpoint. And I thought Boston handled the adversity, even of being down 21, very well. And, you know, I think it goes back to Brad Stevens. A lot of criticism has been heaped on him for how this team hasn't necessarily performed up to their standards in the postseason throughout the last couple of years. But I thought Brad Stevens did a great job. And, you know, I think it was TNT caught the line that he gave to his team saying, if we continue to be aggressive and if we continue to force things with them, they will eventually break, meaning the Cavaliers. They will wear out, in other words, if we keep pushing the issue. And I'm not saying the Cavaliers tired out, but I think they got a little disinterested. And I think Boston did a very good job, not only against LeBron, but against Kyrie, against Kevin Love, who started red hot. And I think it showed by the middle of the fourth quarter, that was a game, obviously. And to the point where Boston really was the aggressor, you could see the Cavaliers playing on their heels. And, you know, unlike game one of the first round series where the Cavaliers were lucky to get out of it with a victory, you know, against Indiana when they usually could have lost that game, this time around, there wasn't any luck involved. Boston just played great down the stretch. Sure, it was a tied game, but hey, sometimes, as they say in sports, it's better to be lucky than good. Avery Bradley's, you know, shot at the buzzer basically was the nail in the coffin for Boston. So I expect LeBron to be a lot more, again, as I said earlier, the adage, foot on the throat type attitude tonight. I don't think he's going to allow himself to come out and play as poorly as he did in game three throughout most of the course of that game.
We're talking with Matt Lodi. You can hear Matt and Scott Zarrilla on the Kobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Q, presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning from 6:30 until 8 o'clock tonight here on AM 930 WEOL. You hit on a couple of things there, Matt, that I want to touch on as well, and I think you're spot on. You know, with Boston going into these games here, they're kind of going into it with very little to lose here, and I say that because nobody expects them to win. Heck, at the beginning of the series, nobody expected them to win. Then you take their best score and by many accounts their best player Isaiah Thomas out of the equation, and then, you know, that just kind of adds to it. Nobody really expects them to win this thing, so those are the most dangerous teams sometimes, the ones that come in with nothing to lose. And to add to that here, I don't know what it is, especially about the postseason, but it just seems like the Cavs have a really difficult time closing. It's never really at the beginning of the game where they have their issues, but what is it about the second half and the fourth quarter specifically where they just kind of let down?
You know, and it happens a lot at home, too. I mean, they tend to have this happen a lot more here at the Q. And it's been interesting because the two Cleveland teams that have been successful the last couple of years, the Indians and the Cavs, for whatever reason, the Indians maybe a little bit more this year have had issues at Progressive Field across the street where I'm standing. And the Cavaliers have had some more issues at home than they usually have. So I don't know what it is, guys. I don't know if it's that kind of invincibility factor that they think, okay, we're at home, we can't lose. But again, Boston showed it on Sunday night. You know, the Indians have had some struggles at Progressive Field during the home their home stand so far this year. I don't know if it's, you know, they say there's obviously a home court, or in the case of basketball or in baseball or in football, home field advantage. But for whatever reason, again, the Cleveland teams right now just aren't playing as well at home as they are on the road. So, you know, from the Cavaliers' point of view, you know, when they get that big lead and everything like that, I just go back to what I keep saying. It's just that they grow complacent. I don't know if they grow bored. I don't know if they just, you know, they want to start playing, you know, a different style, you know, more like a street ball or something like that, and want to try different things. But whatever the reasoning behind it is, it's not working. And, you know, and it's going to be up to the leaders of the team. And, of course, it starts with LeBron. Ty Lue, of course, has to be involved. Kyrie, Kevin, you know, James Jones, who, you know, LeBron referred to as Nostradamus of the team earlier today. You know, meaning a leader. You know, those guys have got to step up and say, look, you know, it starts with us and it ends with us, but everybody's got to be on the same page. You cannot allow a team from 21 down to get back into a game like the Celtics did on Sunday night. And usually what happens in the NBA, and it happens in a lot of sports too, if there's a big lead that's given up, the team that ends up having to come back usually runs out of gas, and that's why it's very hard to overcome a big lead or a big deficit, I guess, if you will. But Boston was able to do it on Sunday night. Credit to them and kudos to them. And you know, I expect them to come out with confidence tonight, guys, because, again, you know, even though the Cavaliers have dominated very early in these games, this might be a little bit different tonight. I could see Boston coming out and saying, hey, you know, we've got the momentum. It's going to be up to the Cavaliers to kind of say, look, Sunday was a fluke. Let's get back to doing what we do best, and let's just pound these guys into the ground and get back to Boston on, I think it was, what, Thursday, and finish this thing off. Because, you know, guess what? The Golden State Warriors are ready, and they're done. You know, there's not going to be this 9-day break that the Cavaliers have had between rounds. They're going to have to turn around. If they keep playing around with this series and wasting time finishing this thing off, they're going to find themselves with not very many days of rest and having to go to Golden State, because obviously the series will start in Oakland just like it did last year and the year before. So the Cavaliers cannot play around anymore. They've got to finish this thing off in five, and you know, they'll have a few days off, but not many, and then they'll have a chance to get ready for the Warriors a week from Thursday.
Well, Matt, we appreciate the time as always. We know you got to get ready for that Cobalt Insurance Center countdown at the Q Show. We will look forward to hearing you and Scott talk about what's coming up here on the Cobalt Insurance Center countdown at the Q Show, presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning. Again, it begins at 6:30. Matt, thank you for the time.
Okay, guys, thank you for having me.